placed him in a very awkward position to operate and pay what he's got to pay otherwise.
Okay.
Thank you.
Section 17. Did we deal with that with the amendments that DEQ proposed? Tom! I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I mean, I guess maybe you don't want us to deal with your concerns. I'll be happy
not to, but I don't want them coming back at me.
No,
then.
I thought I...
Section 7, you had you mentioned Section 17.
You've taken care of that, Mr. Chairman.
We did take care of that with the DEQ amendment.
Yes.
Great, thank you.
My only other comment is kind of a throwaway comment. It is that nobody has cited an incinerator in this state pursuant to Senate Bill 138, and if perhaps you'd like to take a look at making it more feasible to cite an incinerator in this state.
I think Senate
most of the provisions are in the bill.
That's what it was designed to do.
Never mind.
Let us move on.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Okay, we have an amendment proposed to us by Chem Securities. We have a number of amendments proposed to us by the Department of Environmental Quality that are contained on a sheet dated February 20th, 1987, and on a sheet dated February 27th, 1987. So why don't I just... I'm just going to move the amendments from Chem Security, dated February 26, 1987. The amendment would be on page 7 of the printed bill, after line 36, insert, the department will provide to the permittee a written directive for the necessary corrective action.
And delete the rest.
I didn't read the rest of it, so I didn't have to delete it. But that's okay.
I know, but I want to make it
clear. Okay, yes, and delete the rest. I'm going to move them all because I don't think there's any problem. And then I would move all of the Department of Environmental Quality amendments on their sheet dated February 20th, 1987. Number 1 deals with Section 8, page 6, lines 16 to 19. Number 2 deals with Section 17, page 10, changing lines 40 to 42. Number 3 deals with Section 17, page 11, changing how line 8 reads. Number 4 deals with Section 44, page 18, line 35, change in wording. And then the other amendment the DEQ has proposed is number 5 is an addition on page 10, Section 15, lines 14 to 32. It's the lien provisions. So, is there any discussion on the motion to amend Senate Bill 116 with those amendments? Is there any objection to amending Senate Bill 116 with those amendments? Hearing none, so ordered.
I don't want to move it now.
Let's close the work session. I think we're done with Senate Bill 116. Okay.
And then it will be printed in. It will be reprinted then.
Well, not until we move it out of here.
We won't get to see it until it's moved out then.
Well, you could hand and gross. You could add Chem Securities Amendment to the hand and gross version from DEQ.
No problem. I just
see the whole thing.
There's no problem.
I would like to sort of keep this bill in committee for a while we deal with the other ones, to keep it all as a package so that it can be sent to Ways and Means, which is where it goes next, as a package.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
I understand that you are not willing to carry the perhaps step approach.
Oh, I'm willing to look at it. I didn't mean to create that impression. I apologize.
If we're going to keep the bill in committee, perhaps we could ask LC to draft the tentative.
Okay, I want to comment on that, Mr. Chairman. That means we're going to change all of the liens in all of the bills. And I, having been through the lien provisions last session, know that the step point of filing liens is also very complicated, and then the people get mixed up about where and when to file, and we need to have the dates then, at what point in time, how long it takes to make an assessment of what other property is in the state, is in the county before you file a lien in the next. I just think knowing what I know about liens, it's, I don't mind having somebody look at it. I just think it's not that simple, and it's complicated to look at the filing system and the dates. But that's, I don't know what's, you'd have to have a lot more specifics before you ask LC to look at it. If you want to do it, that's fine. I just know that we've been around with liens.
Or perhaps they need, and I don't suppose there's any language that would allow you to without rules that would rather than shutting down six plants in the state. If you have to doesn't
I'm not sure that a lien ever shuts down plants in the state. Shuts
Mr.
down
Chairman. On the question, on that question, the fact of the matter is that it's as presented what we're talking about, or as proposed by Donahue, you're talking about a virtually impossible judgmental process, which is open to litigation in the first county under that kind of a process, in which you get into an immediate argument about satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And the indeterminate nature of satisfaction before you can go to the next step. It's of the order, not quite of the order of how many angels can dance in the head of a pen, but give me an administrative lawyer and enough time, I bet you could come darn close.
Do you want to do, what do you want?
No.
Okay. So let's put 116 aside and let's open the public hearing on Senate Bill 11. Senator Kerens, you were the chairman of the subcommittee, and we have not yet received from you orally a presentation about what your subcommittee came up with on Senate Bill 11. I'm anxiously awaiting hearing that.
We took a good bill and made it much better.
That's what I hear.
Let's see here. As I understand it, you should have. Let's see here. There it is. You should have in your folder on SB 11 a hand engrossed version identified as SB 11-5. And that takes the. Those amendments are in the order of a substitute bill. Including everything that the subcommittee did. So if you want, I can. If you want to walk through it?
I want you to kind of describe it to me before you walk through the details of the bill, and then we can walk through the bill.
The essence of the subcommittee's work was to create a statewide process for financing and authorizing voluntary local household hazardous waste collection days, the process being they're financed by a tipping fee, the money going to the DEQ, DEQ approving written plans for the most appropriate local government unit to do it, fire district, county, or whatever, and then to help finance that on a 75-25 match. In other words, the DEQ would come up with 75%, the county or fire district would come up with 25%, the local government could use in-kind services through printing, publicity, staff time, etc., to be determined by rule for there, so that if they could actually get through the program with no cash out of hand possibly. The list is to be developed by rule, but it's commonly understood what that is by federal law, what constitutes the household hazardous waste. And the department is to promote statewide education and publicity about the process and alternatives to the materials at question. That's probably pretty good, isn't it? I don't think I missed anything.
Okay, now why don't you walk us through the bill?
Okay. The first item is pretty straightforward. Municipality, we made a couple of additions in order to specifically provide authority for the Metropolitan Service District and the Sewage Treatment District or authorities. In Section 2, we said they can't operate one without, they shall operate only with a written approval from the department. We gave them some fairly broad language about what would be in the plan. Now, in item section, subsection 4 of section 2, we put in some language to provide for contracting out of the actual conduct of the collection drive. Because there may well be some counties that want to get together and do this, county or city or whatever, but may not want to have the responsibility or go through the actual conduct of it. That subsection 4 permits them with the department to get together with an independent contractor and actually do this. Might permit the folks in contiguous counties or districts to get together and, you know, reach some economy of scale in the metropolitan area, and I think it'd work pretty good. Section 4 is the grant process and cost sharing. And we said that in Section 5, if there isn't enough money to go stretch, then based on the criterion of the program, either A, not fund all the programs, or B, negotiate with some other cost sharing arrangement. Section 6 is the DEQ's own statewide responsibility for education and information about household waste, methods of recycling, and, from my viewpoint, most importantly, the alternatives to the use. We have virtually all of these things on the shelf in the supermarket, virtually all of them in the supermarket right now, non-toxic combinations that our grandmothers used to and grandfathers used to use. Section 7 simply says that each calendar quarter we collect a 50 cent per ton on the solid waste going into the disposal sites. Now, we had some discussion over what was an appropriate amount. The department gave us some information on what you get. At 5 cents per ton, you get $100,000 a year. 10 cents, $200,000, 25 cents, half a million, 50 cents, approximately $992,500 by their best estimate. So we kind of came to a general conclusion that okay, that represents 75% of the total cost of the program in the first year, and 75% of the cost of the program in the second year. About $2.5 million for the program in the first biennium. Recognizing that most of that money is probably going to get spent in year two and might get some pretty good coverage, we may find some problem in the biennium next following that one because it may not be supported by that money. That's why we put in the language saying you get to negotiate if you don't get enough money. Then we asked them to come back and tell us in the next two legislative assemblies how we're doing with the program and what's happening. Okay. Let me say an editorial comment, if I may, on behalf of the subcommittee. We think it's turned out pretty good. It may well be perfected as a result of the testimony that will be received on it. But we think it's a pretty solid vehicle for use to begin addressing the household hazardous waste materials and begin educating the the citizens of this state regarding their alternatives and their proper disposal.
Basically what the bill does is set up a system to help municipalities pay for hazardous waste collection. It doesn't mandate that they do that.
It's entirely voluntary.
And so it's just a way to help pay for it, and it
That's
gets
correct.
The department involved in making sure that it's done properly.
That's correct.
Reviewing the proposals.
That's correct.
And in addition, it gets the department, along with the local municipalities, involved in developing a public education program.
Right.
And how is that paid for?
That comes out of the monies to be collected.
Okay, so that comes out of the money that comes
That's
from the tipping
correct.
Fee.
That's correct. Now, Mr. Chairman, there is, and you will hear about whether, you know, when does the stick, the 50 cents, become a carrot to the municipality? In other words, we whip on them with a stick of 50 cents per ton, okay? You must pay that. And then we come back with a carrot saying, now, if you want your money back, you better organize a voluntary program so your money stays at home. Your 50 cents per ton tipping fee stays at home working for you, promoting this program. So you're undoubtedly going to hear about that. But as a matter of fact, if you take 50 cents per ton and try and back it into the charge that the hauler makes per can at the household level, it is beyond de minimis. It gets down to trace. Okay? You need a fiscal electron microscope to find the amount attributable at the household level.
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is that, as in all things, especially like when we raise cigarette taxes, if you raise cigarette taxes a nickel, the cost at the 7-Eleven goes up 25 cents. And they put a little sticker out saying, because of tax increases at Salem, your cigarettes now cost you $1.50. The same will occur here. When the per can charge goes up, there will be a flyer with the bill saying, as a result of those rats in Salem coming up with a brand new program, we have to charge you 50 cents more a can. So it's kind of a waste haulers underwriting program in some respects. But we have to accept that fact because it happens every time. All in all, good bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hamby.
Again, to put it, I think Senator Cairns, perhaps you can help me refresh my memory. But again, to put it in another perspective, in addition to the per can charge that might fall out of it, was the issue that I think we have testimony that said it costs approximately $100,000 for a 30,000 population city to conduct a one day's activity. And most of that $100,000, in fact, goes to the disposal itself, costs the waste. So you can see the figure is not going to go all that far in the state.
Right.
But
how much money do we raise?
Our share would be approximately $2 million with another 25% of that figure coming from the locals. So
well, the total, how much is the tipping fee raised? $2
million? Yeah. 50 cents
a ton.
1,978,000, or something like that. Approximately $2 million.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Brennan.
I guess I'd just add one more comment to that. I think all the money comes from the local. I mean, which pocket do you pay it
exactly.
out of?
Exactly. No, sure.
Right.
Sure. That's the question. When does the stick of a 50 cent tipping fee become the carrot to the municipality of underwriting the program?
I don't think an extra can charge is going to look too much like a carrot. The folks back home are already starting to dump their garbage in the countryside because of the huge increases down there on per cans now. It's quadrupled in the last 5 years.
We could have statewide regulation of
garbage haulers
and how much you can charge and have them come in, and we can get a CPI for waste haulage, and we could do it directly. I mean, like the PUC, put them under the PUC, and begin to really get a handle on that question. No pun intended. I was not being facetious about what happens when you add a tipping fee. It happens every time around. It's always those no good rats in Salem increased our cost. We're passing it on to you, and it always tends to redound to the benefit of the person affected by the fee. That's a matter of fact in this process. And that's not enough argument on my, at least on my side, to say that doing nothing is an option under that circumstance. But you're going to hear about that.
Okay, let's go ahead with a public hearing on the issue. Diana Godwin.
May we come to concert, Mr.
Chairman? Oh, certainly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Diana Godwin, representing the Oregon Sanitary Service Institute, which is 150 private garbage haulers in this state. They also own landfills, privately owned landfills, that would also be affected by this. My clients haul this hazardous waste, and if they're a landfill operator, they're faced with the problem of disposing of these hazardous wastes. They're as concerned as this committee is about what happens when you put hazardous wastes into the landfill. They've got exposure liability. They don't want it either. But their major problem, and we testified in the subcommittee about this, is with the larger quantities of hazardous waste that are being generated by your so-called small generators of hazardous waste. They are your dry cleaning operations, your automotive repair shops, any kind of vehicular repair shop, bus shops, photo developers. And it's those amounts of hazardous waste that my clients who operate landfills are having problems with. Also, my clients who have to haul and pick up those wastes. Now, I understand we're going to be separately addressing that, and several of my haulers do serve currently on Metropolitan Service District's task force on small quantity generators of hazardous wastes. And our point in working with the subcommittee was, first, that's the problem probably that we ought to address first, and then seeing if we can get that out of the current waste stream and get that out of our landfills, then we'll be in a position to know how much more household waste we really have that is truly household waste and can gear our programs to that. But understanding, however, that this committee does wish to go forward with a separate, perhaps initially, the household hazardous waste collection program, our proposal would be that we allow the individual counties and municipalities to set their own fee that they wish to collect to run the program that they want to put on. We had testimony during the subcommittee, particularly from one of our haulers in the Albany-Lebanon area, that his own company has in the past been willing to put up money, in one case as much as $15,000, to work with the local municipality in publicizing the local hazardous household hazardous waste cleanup day. They're going to get some good public relations out of it. They're not going to have to do things of raising people's per can fee and explaining that and collecting money through that. They'd have rather just participated with the local government and worked with them that way. And so our proposal would be to allow the county to, or the local municipality, to set an amount of a tipping fee that they determine necessary, and they may choose to get money through other sources, through their local haulers, through perhaps some of their businesses like your dry cleaners and your auto repair shops. That way they can fund their own program and keep the money at home and not have to hire extra personnel perhaps to write the grant to DEQ to get their money back after they've paid it. Would also avoid the problem of everyone in the state having to pay a 50-cent, participate in paying that 50-cent per ton fee, and then perhaps not getting it back into their own local community. One of the other areas of concern, however, is that I know Senator Cairns was talking about what's the carrot and what's the stick. The stick is the 50 cents, and the carrot is, well, come to DEQ and get your money back. The problem is that, and that's the problem the original bill addressed, and that's the problem of continuing liability exposure, which may still make some local governments hesitate to put one of these programs into place, again, because they still face that question of liability. The other proposal we would have, we definitely appreciate the need for some sort of central oversight of these collection programs. These materials are hazardous. It's necessary that they be collected and handled and disposed of safely. That And accordingly, we would propose that the Department of Environmental Quality must approve anyone's program, a local municipality's program, before the program it can be conducted. That is, before you can collect your money and hold your hazardous cleanup day, you must have approval from DEQ, and that will assure that the program is being conducted in the interest of public safety. And it could be that DEQ would also, in consideration of DEQ approving your program must contain a component of public education, which is, again, funded at the local level. That is, again, where my clients have offered to help, is in that area of public education at the local level. But we would say that before the program can be conducted, DEQ must approve it to be sure it's safe, and must approve it to be sure that there's a component of public education in there. And the other question and concern that we had, and I raised this briefly with Senator Cairns, and I know he expressed some reservations, that is Section 3 of the bill. We have no problem at all with DEQ identifying those categories of materials that are hazardous, that would be collected under these programs. But we would ask that, if possible, some qualification be put in there to specify quantities, so that we can separate what is truly a household waste from a small quantity generator waste. It's my understanding that with some of these programs that have been conducted, some of their waste is coming from the small generators and not just the household. And that's why we said if we can take care of the small quantity generator, we may find we don't have as much of the household hazardous waste. Now, my clients who have to handle this are particularly concerned that we not set up these household programs that wind up collecting larger quantities than we might originally envision. And that's why we would propose either a per-item quantity maximum, 10 pounds of paint, 1 gallon, if that's possible. We would want to have that looked at, again, to avoid having this household program be used by the small quantity generators. And we would, again, to encourage municipalities to set up these programs and to encourage local haulers to cooperate in them. And I know that Tom Donica had some language on this, proposed that there be some limited immunity from liability, continued liability for gross negligence in the handling of these items, but give the municipalities some motivation to hold these programs. Give them some immunity from liability, except for gross negligence.
Chairman? Senator Cohen.
I'm finished. Thank you.
The municipalities have a cap on liability damages right now.
Yes, they do, under ORS 30.265.
And,
$100,000, $300,000.
So I guess I don't, if you're talking about $100,000, $300,000, I don't know what more you want from us. You've got such a real tight cap now.
Well,
the second item, I guess, that's a comment, and I don't, it doesn't need
apparently to it's not exposure. It's not protected.
It's the amount of exposure that you get.
Oh, we all understand that. It's sort of the part of the whole thing that we've been hearing about, so the caps are not relevant anyway, either. But the point is, could you tell me, Diana, how many, on average, how many garbage cans does it take to make a ton?
I don't know.
I'd like that information.
All right.
On average. The other, I'd ask also that your people take a look when we talk about small generators. At the Seattle study and at the Metro study, to see what really came in there,
okay,
and what does come in there. And I'm not meaning to disparage the small quantity generators. I think it's really true that if that were a free place and you advertised generally, you might have more than what small quantity generators. It's my understanding that the small quantity generator piece is more a recycling effort and a pickup effort, and I would suggest that if your garbage haulers were interested in that private enterprise business, there's lots of business out there to be done. And I know that they're working on that with the Metro Committee.
Yeah.
The two pieces of information that I need, really,
okay,
how many on average, how many cans per ton?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kearns.
I understand, picking up from where Senator Cohen was, I understand that the concern that Ms. Godwin has of the question of cost shifting from a fee collected on residential or other, you know, folk that you might have somehow being used to dispose of somebody who's not one of your customers as a small quantity generator, and not having that treated in the correct fashion and not, you know, somebody sneaking into this program. So I'm very interested in having our staff once again look at those numbers, that because I think Senator Cohen is correct. I don't think the numbers there will bear out, one, that there was a lot of that, and two, if we go on to deal with a small quantity generator, we'll be better off. Tell me more about the question of the local option. You're suggesting that a county, is that the unit? Or what municipality where the landfill, the waste site is located?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, I guess from our standpoint, we're looking at a proposal that would, for the record, Gordon Foltz, Association of Oregon Counties, and for this particular issue, League of Oregon Cities. We would look towards the jurisdiction responsible for the landfill, if you will, and those jurisdictions that dump into the landfill being responsible for collecting a fee at home.